What a rock. Welcome to a new episode of the Brandon Janu Show. As you know, I am Brandon Janu, and like always, all podcast platforms everywhere, it is Brandon Janu Show. Social media platforms, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, Facebook, Brandon Janu Show. And of course, YouTube channel, Brandon Janu Show. Man, you catch this visual like all the other ones on my YouTube channel, man. Go subscribe, comment. I do comment back. It's been a minute, man, since I've podcast, man. I've been dealing with a lot, but I'd talk about that after this weekend. But this weekend is different, man. This is officially WrestleMania weekend. WrestleMania day is here. Tonight is Saturday night, WrestleMania night one. Couple of matches on that card, but I'll be doing that later on tonight when that WrestleMania subsides. I will be doing that preview, that talk about that rate review show, and tomorrow night I'll be doing my WrestleMania night two rate and review show. But today, right here, right now, I will be talking about the NXT Stand and Deliver rate and review show. It just went off just a couple minutes ago. And you know me, man, I jump on here right afterwards just to talk about it, man. Incredible NXT, man. It kind of felt like the old NXT takeover, man. So that's a good thing, man. WWE is kind of getting back into that old swing, not just on the main card, but really in NXT too, because this felt more like a old NXT takeover than most. A lot more matches on here. Than the old NXT takeovers, but hey man, it was a good man. So NXT Stand and Deliver Hell was held in West Fargo Center in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania today, man. And I'm, like I said, gonna go through all of the matches. Y'all already know how I do this. I rate them from my least favorite, which is like a 1 star, but it's literally, you gotta have like literally nothing happening in a match to get a 1 star from me. But, to 5 stars, and if it's 2 5-star matches, which I got like 3 on here, if it's like I got 3 5-star matches, so stay tuned for that. But yeah, man, I thought these matches were really good. They had a match before it. I didn't really talk about it because I don't really talk about pre-show matches because they're not on the main card. I really don't want to talk about no pre-show match, but it was actually a really good one. Just the wrong winner. I didn't understand the decision of letting Joe Gacy. Beat Shawn Spears. It didn't make any fucking sense, especially before the match when, you know, Rich Holland hits him in the back of his back with a steel chair. It didn't make any sense. Then for him to go out there and still wrestle a really good match. It was a really good match. I just felt like Shawn Spears should have went over. It didn't make any fucking sense for him to lose to Joe Gacy. I didn't understand that. Yeah, I didn't understand that decision. That was very stupid. Yeah, wasn't Shawn and Mike and Triple H's best booking hour on that one. I would have not done that, but that's just me. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, like I said, so they have what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 matches on the card. They could have had 5 and it would have been great. But they had 6. It is what it is. So, again, like I said, my least favorite to my most favorite. And that's how I do this. And you know, if you watched a bunch of my wrestling rating review shows, you know how I do this. So, let's get into it, man. So, my least favorite match of the card all night was the 6 women tag team match. Thea Hale, Fallon Huntley, and Kalani Jordan. Versus JC Jane, Kiana James, and Izzy Dame. It was like 3.5 stars. I gave it 3.5 stars. Really, it's like 3. I gave it 3. It's really like 3 stars. It was cool. I mean, it didn't really solve anything. Like, it didn't solve anything. I mean, they just went out there and had a match, and it didn't really solve anything. JC Jane didn't lose to Thea Hale. She didn't tap out to Thea Hale. They let the other girl take the submission, which I guess they're gonna now make them fight on a one-on-one match at some at the next pay-per-view. But it just didn't make sense to have this match if it didn't really solve anything. Nothing got solved. Nothing at all got solved in this match. When you go into a Stand and Deliver, especially with the storylines they had been telling for a while with these women on NXT, it's got to be a crescendo at some point. And this match just wasn't that. And now that you have also just announced the NXT North American Women's Championship, which is for the mid card women who aren't gonna probably hit that just to get them something, which I'm assuming tonight or maybe Monday or sometime in the near future, because they're doing this on NXT just to see how it work, just so they can bring it to the main card, and which is something that a lot of people have been saying on social media is like, yo, there's too many amazing women that aren't being utilized on the main card on Raw and SmackDown, where you could have given them a mid-card title and let them have that at least. Because if you're going to always have the Rhea's, the Becky's, the Charlotte's when she comes back, and the Bianca's at the top, where is the Liv Morgan's, the Nia Jax's? Where are they titles? Because they need one, because the women tag team titles are cool, but not all of them need to be in a tag team to get titles. Like, so I'm assuming that's what this is. And I think the six women's tag team match was kind of an acknowledgement to those women saying, hey, something's coming for you guys. You know, we got something for you. You know, and I can see all six of these women being in that conversation to be the first women's North American women's champion. But I don't. The match to me, though, all that buildup that they had been planning the last couple of weeks, and then Tuesday it overspilled, and then now they actually fought. I don't know. It just felt like a little like letdown. And plus, on top of that, they had to follow like two of the best fucking matches on the card. So like, it was kind of like a downward spiral for them, regardless. I'm sorry. Like, it just. They wasn't gonna follow up on what the second match really was and what the first match was. It just that second match was like, bruh, like what the fuck? Like, I'm assuming they changed the plans midway through that match. They're like, yeah, we're gonna let y'all sit over there and we're gonna let them go first, because this is ridiculous. Man, that match was fucking phenomenal. You might hear about why I love that match so much, but they could not follow up on the first two matches. That it wasn't gonna happen with these six women, and they're amazing in the ring, but just the way that those two matches were to start off NXT Stand and Deliver, it fucking sucks that these women kind of got the brunt of that, because like I said, it's not a bad match if you actually watch it in full. It's not a bad match. It's just those first two matches, man, on that card was just like, fuck. Anybody could have followed up on that shit, and it wouldn't have been good. This could have been the main event in the next all these matches that came before it. I felt like they probably should have started off with this, because then if the crowd didn't really like it, or the, you know, it was just a warm up, and then you got the boom, 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 boom. It just would have been a smash, 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 smash. But this match was hard. It was a hard match to be like. You can't follow up. I'm gonna be honest. That those two, they're like those two matches before, and a lot of people talk about the match before this match, the real match before this match. But even the opening was like, fuck, this shit is good. Like it, like I feel so bad for these women, because they actually had a really good match. And just, I had to give it 3.5 stars, because it's like three stars, 3.5 stars, because you had to follow up two of the most incredible matches probably on a card. And you couldn't fucking do it, and you had six women in it, and it's not you. It's like the way those two matches happened before you. Nobody could follow that shit up. I'm sorry, like nobody could have followed those two matches up. Maybe Carmelo and Trick, because it was just the energy was what that for that match. But that's about fucking it. Nobody really could follow that. So I think they got like the death spot in this equation. You know, a lot of people says the second match on the card, but this was like they were the third match on the card and they got the fucking death spot. Like it was bad. I felt like they should have just had this on a pre-show with the Shawn Spears and Joe Gacy match, because they couldn't follow that shit up. Like those two matches were just like top tier NXT quality. It's just like, fuck, good luck. And it's not a bad match. Again, it's not a bad match. It just they couldn't follow that shit up. I'm sorry. It just fell into the situation. So 3 stars, 3.5 stars. And that's why I probably also am giving them a little bit higher stars, because it's just like they literally had to follow two of the best fucking matches probably on a card. If you really watch this through and through, it's two of the best matches on the fucking card. Like, and you had to follow them bitches up. Yeah, that's it. You fall victim to that. So I give it 3.5 stars. It's not a bad match. I'll probably see three stars. I give it 3 stars. All right. I got 2 matches that are 4.5 stars. 4.5 stars. My first one is the NXT Championship match between Ilya Dragunov and Tony D'Angelo. I give it 4.5 stars. I did not give it 5. A lot of people probably would be like, why you didn't get that 5? One, it took forever to heat up. Like I get that they were trying to play into the Ilya Dragunov injury, you know, with the hand, the finger. That he injured, I think, Tuesday. Last Tuesday. I can't fucking remember. I think it was when he fought Stax. But it just took too long. Then they try to like get D'Angelo to use brass knucks, and it was just like, what the fuck? Why is the family even out there? Like it should have just been them two man to man. And I get it, because it's now starting to be like, oh, D'Angelo's gonna just go straight face, which the family is a face team. Like I don't like the family is a face team, right? Like, so I didn't understand that. I guess Stax is gonna turn on him. I'm assuming, but I just didn't understand that shit. Like I didn't understand it. But all in all, man, the ending is what got it so good. Like the midway point of it, and that's when it midway point, and then it just took off. Like after they kind of like stopped trying to make him decide if he wants to really win the title that way, and once that shit kind of went out the window, it was like, okay, now they can really go and. I've never seen Dragunov had a bad match. I've never seen it. Like ever since I've started watching NXT again and I've watched him, I've not seen this man have a bad fucking match. This man's been this damn consistent for NXT UK to NXT. He's been that damn consistent. And if this is the true reports that he's gonna get called up, and when he does get called up, he's gonna have like the Gunther run. I'm gonna be honest. I know people will sit there and say Gunther's probably gonna beat Sammy tonight, which I do believe, but at the same time, I do not think Chad Gable should beat Gunther for the title. I'm sorry. Like, as good as Chad Gable is, and I love Chad Gable, he is the new modern Kurt Angle. I would believe that. I do believe that. But if you tell me right now, in about 3 months, I can have a Clash at the Castle, Gunther. With possibly close to 1,800, 900 days as Intercontinental Champion, and his real test to getting to maybe 1,000 is Ilya Dragunov. I would take that match over Chad Gables in a fucking heartbeat. Are you fucking kidding me? Give me that match. Give me that match. Fucking right. Dragunov dropped the title next pay-per-view, but goes to Raw. Calls Gunther out. They fight at Clash of the Castle in June. Or they fight at Clash. Or they fight at Bash of Berlin in August. One of these motherfuckers. I don't give a fuck. Pick one. Pick one. I don't give a fuck. But tell me that Chad Gable versus Gunther. Like you want Chad Gable to be the one that dethrones Gunther? It's like telling me Damian Priest should dethrone the World Heavyweight Champion. It's like I can see it. But what does that do, really? Like, if you're gonna do this, you gotta have somebody beat him that you know can immediately keep that run with that title going. I don't know if Chad, and Chad's a beast. Chad Gable is a monster. But if you tell me Chad Gable versus Gunther, or Gunther versus Ilya Dragunov for the Intercontinental Championship, give me Ilya Dragunov versus Gunther right the fuck now. Immediately. I will pay you money. What the fuck I gotta do to get that? Because that is exactly what I think. If I was WWE, I would hold off until Ilya Dragunov calls up to the main roster and he comes to Raw. If they keep Gunther on Raw, which is the key point to this. But let's say Dragunov gets traded to SmackDown and Gunther comes to SmackDown, back to SmackDown. I'm cool with that. Let it happen. But this match was amazing at the end. It heated up, like I said, midway point, and then it just heated up. Ilya Dragunov could go. I've never seen a bad match with the man. I've never seen him have a bad fight. And for the, what, third consecutive NXT pay-per-view, this man just did his shit, and he did it to the best of his ability. And he killed it. Tony D'Angelo is somebody I'm starting to looking at a little bit more. Like I said, this was kind of stupid. I didn't like how the family kept interjecting themselves into the match. I get it because you're trying to get him the title, but he's like, yo, I don't want to do it that way, which I don't think he was ever going to do it that way. And if they fight again next pay-per-view and he does decide to finally cheat, then what the fuck was the point of him standing on business at this pay-per-view? I don't like that old WWE method where it's like, I'm a good guy, so I chose to do this now. Sometimes it works and sometimes it fucking doesn't. And this is not one of those times where next pay-per-view, if he gets another opportunity, he should turn heel again. Like, no, man, if you're gonna stand like that and you're gonna raise his hand and he's gonna shake your hand, keep it that way. Like have him go off and be the good guy. But don't do that shit. Like I just don't like that. But Ilya Dragunov, I do feel like he needs to drop the belt. And maybe next pay-per-view he fights Trick Williams again, one-on-one, just them two. And I would love to see it. I think it'd be an amazing thing. And he could drop the belt to Trick Williams, who just, you know what I'm saying? So I wouldn't mind seeing Ilya Dragunov drop the belt to Trick Williams. It wouldn't be a bad idea now. So yeah. They could definitely rerun that match. The second one, 4.5-star match that I have is the opening match of the whole fucking Standard Deliver, which was the War Dogs versus Axiom and Nathan Freeze. Nathan Frazer. This shit was great. I've not seen, but Bron Breakker, whenever they finally decide to drop the tag team titles and he moves up to SmackDown, I actually think he needs to bring the War Dogs with him. I'm not saying Bron Breakker can't be a star on his own, but Baron Corbin has finally found his place in WWE. And to then take Bron Breakker away from him, just so Bron Breakker could go off and be a solo star and fucking Baron Corbin be just in NXT, just again, failing without, like, just failing in NXT, like, it wouldn't make any sense. Like, I just feel like if you're gonna make this a thing, then call up the Wolf Dogs together. And then one day they do decide, and I don't think they need to break up either. I think they just need to separate. Brian wants to go be a solo star. Baron Corbin's like, I see the potential in you. You need to go be a solo star. Maybe I need to find my own place without all the extra shit. And that's perfect. Like, we don't always need an explosion of teams breaking the fuck up every time. We just need them to be like, no, man, like, I get it. You deserve to be your own man, and I deserve to have my own. But this match was amazing. It was incredible, man. Like I said about the six women tag team match, it was hard to follow up after that because the opening was just fucking phenomenal. It is always the WWE's favorite thing. Speed, quickness, athleticism. Speed, quickness versus raw power and strength. It always works. It does. Rey Mysterio has perfected this. Shawn Michaels has perfected this. And this was that. And the tag team match was excellent. It was a perfect example of that. Now, why I didn't give it 5 stars is because I didn't know what the hell's coming after this. I could have boosted it back up. I could have given it 5 stars, but then I was like, nah, let me see what happens after this. I don't want to give it too many 5-star matches, but this was close to being a 5-star match. The spear, Bron Breakker got one of the best spears in the fucking business, man. That because it looks like it's an actual spear, like it looks like it actually hurts. Not like Roman's. Roman shit is very protected. It's very soft. You know what I'm saying? Like you're gonna see it tonight. It's like very soft. It don't feel like it really will hurt someone if he spears you really. Bron Breakker looks like he's trying to take your soul out your body. Like he looks like he's trying to like take your flesh like out of you. Like he just like it hits with a different intensity. The same thing like with Goldberg, his spear was just like it, because they come from that. Like so it's just yeah, man, that tag team match though was phenomenal, man. That spear, man, Lord Jesus, I felt so bad for Frazier. I was like, God damn. I was like, dude, just quit. Just give up. Just let it go. Like, this is. I'm like, dude, just quit. Just give up. Just go home. Like, just. You didn't need to take that spear, my guy. Like, you just didn't need to take that spear. It was bad, man. It was a bad spear, man, because he hit his ass hard. I've seen worse. I've seen him hit some people, and I'm like, fuck. That is. Damn. Yeah, but the match was amazing. 4.5 stars. I liked it a lot, man. Here we go. I got 3 5-star matches. 3 5-star matches. You know how I do this. I go from my least favorite to my most favorite, which these are not bad matches, but again, it goes into what I've been saying. To me, the match quality and how I felt about the match coming in, and also how I lived up to it, which is the thing. So, the first match is Lava Vakaria versus Roxy Perez for the NXT Women's Championship. I gave it 5 stars. It's not that I didn't like this match more than the other two. But again, slow build. It took a minute. I loved how Roxy Perez actually worked over Lara Vakaria's arm. She used it to advantage. The entire match was literally worked around her arm. You can't pick me up. You can't do this. You can't do that. She actually ended the match in a tap out. Like, that's how you're supposed to actually, if you're going to injure someone, that's how the fuck it's supposed to end. I hate when wrestling ends up in some stupid ass thought process where you injured their arm, but you tapped them out with the leg. Like it doesn't make any sense. Like the match was perfectly coordinated. It worked. Tammy Presley came out trying to like help Lara Vakaria, and then she got caught up in the shit. But Roxy Perez, man, is now NXT Women's Champion again for the second time. I don't know what you do with this. I don't know. And you're gonna actually start to see Lara Vakaria's the kind of turn a little bit more into the bad guy, which I can definitely see. Now, Roxy Perez, I definitely believe, needs to start moving up to the main card a little bit more. I remember when she first and started getting a lot of praise, they moved her immediately up to the main card just to see. And it wasn't her time yet. She wasn't ready to be that just yet. And I think that was when Vince was in charge. Like in 2021, I think. They started moving her up to the main card. 2022. They started moving up to the main card, and she was doing like a little bit of mat, a couple matches here, a couple matches there on SmackDown and Raw. And it was just like, why the fuck are you doing that? It didn't make any sense. Like, it's stupid. Why are you doing that? But this time around, I think she actually is going to fit perfectly with the main card. But it was actually a really good match, man. The crowd was really into it, which is a very important thing about a lot of these women matches, man. And again, the six women tag match kind of suffered because it couldn't follow up with the first two matches. This match didn't have that to worry about. It could just come in and do what it needed to do, and it lived up to its build and its hype. This actually was a better build than the fucking main card matches that they got tonight and tomorrow night. Like this was a better build, and it actually lived up to the hype, and it was a good match. So, yeah, my second to last match on here, but it's a 5-star match still, and that is Trick Williams versus Carmelo Hayes. It's a 5-star match. I actually like the idea of saying, listen, it doesn't matter. It was kind of like they told you it was kind of like a no disqualification match, kind of, but it was like, no, we just want a decisive winner. I don't give a shit how we get it, as long as it's a decisive winner. I like that. I like the blurring of the lines where it's like, you can do some foul shit. You can cheat. Just don't get caught to the point where we gotta disqualify you. And it played into the fucking match perfectly. The ref didn't really do anything. And I love the fact that, you know, Ava, The Rock's daughter, the general manager at NXT, was like, yo, we need a decisive winner. I don't care how we get it, but as long as we get a 1-2-3 in the middle of the ring, I don't care. And I love that. I love that. Well, you don't have to explain. Well, you don't have to say it's a disqualification match. Just let us fight. Like, let us fight. Let the victor, let the win come. And I like that. I thought that was a brilliant way of making this match because it's exactly what it needed to be. It's like, yo, I'm not telling you it's a no disqualification match. I'm not saying if you hit this motherfucker with a chair, then you getting disqualified. I'm not saying that, but if you get caught, then I have no choice but to, you know, disqualify you. But if you don't, then it is what it is. And I like that. All in all, the match was great. It was them two going up and down. You know, first it started off with them in the crowd fighting each other. Carmelo Hayes trying to use his experience at being the top guy versus Trick Williams. Trick Williams, of course, being considered the underdog, which is kind of interesting in this match. But I mean, I kind of get it because of the experience that Carmelo Hayes has and Trick Williams doesn't in the main event spot. But at the same time, this was perfect. I liked it a lot. And you're gonna actually hear a lot of this where it's kind of like, you know what this remind me of? This remind me of WrestleMania 37. Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair. Sasha was more over, and she had been in the company a little bit longer. She's been more in the more WrestleMania matches and shit like that. Whereas for Bianca, she had never been in a top-tier match like that. And that was the build-up. Kind of like this, where the difference between Bianca and Sasha and Trick and Carmelo was they actually had been around each other for a while, so they kind of knew each other. Whereas for the Bianca Sasha match, it was kind of more like, you kind of idolized me, I know you did, like I know you did, and it's kind of like that. Where this match was kind of like that, but I liked it, I liked it a lot. I liked the ending, you know, Trick catching him with the knee and just beating him 1-2-3, and that was a great thing. This is not over. I think they're gonna fight one more time at another pay-per-view, the next pay-per-view. Maybe a last man standing. I don't know. Maybe something like that. Iron Man match. Something crazy. It's gonna be something. But I definitely see them two fighting one more time before Carmelo Hayes really goes up to the main roster and gets into the draft. Hopefully, if they really do the WWE draft, it probably will be next month. I can't wait to see how it's gonna look. And of course, the best match of the night to me, which is a 5-star match, which is Obafemi versus Dijak versus Josh Briggs, a 5-star match for the NXT North America Championship. This show is incredible. This show is incredible. I rarely agree with social media on shit, But this was incredible. This shit was phenomenal. Josh Briggs almost broke his fucking neck like 15 minutes, 15 seconds into the match. Like, he almost broke his fucking neck. Like, and I'm not trying to smile at that, because that's a crazy thing. Like, Obafemi caught their feet. Dijak actually did do a flip. And Josh Briggs tried to do one. He was like, yeah, that shit ain't gonna happen. So he just landed on his fucking head. And for the whole match, you're like, oh my God, did this man just break his fucking neck? Like, what the fuck is going on? And then he kept taking bumps. Oh my God, this man took so many fucking bumps in his match. He came out dressed like Tess. Came out dressed like Tess. Oh my God, only real fans, like 2,000 fans, know what I'm talking about when they say when I say that. And they came out dressed like Tess. 1999, 98, like. Came out dressed like Tess. Rest in peace to Tess. But yeah, man. So, man, it was crazy, man, to see this match. But this match was phenomenal. I literally said to myself, I was like, man, I don't really like seeing too many big guys fight each other because some of them are slow and they don't really know how to really work together and they suck and it's just a big ass, just long, like Braun Strowman versus like Bobby Lashley versus Drew McIntyre. It's like, y'all are athletic, but it's like, what the fuck is this? Like, come on, man. Like, this match, though, was phenomenal. Obafemi got to show off his power, his strength. You couldn't really take him down. Dijak got to show off how great he really is in the ring. He's been that way since he was in NXT a couple years ago when him and Keith Lee used to fight over the North American Championship. And Josh Briggs is starting to become one of those guys that feels like he's going to be a constant in the title picture with the North American Championship, maybe even one day getting to the, you know, the NXT Championship. But this was an incredible match, man. It was phenomenal, man. I'm happy that social media also again saw what I saw, which was Dijak getting an opportunity to win in the North American title and Josh Briggs pulled the ref out the ring. Homage to last year's triple threat match between Sheamus, Drew McIntyre, and Gunther. Even the ending was the same ending as last year's WrestleMania 39 match between Gunther, Sheamus, and Drew McIntyre, where Gunther had the match won. I mean, Sheamus had the match won. And then Gunther caught him, powerbombed him on top of Drew McIntyre, and he pinned Drew McIntyre. Same way Obafemi beat them today. Dijak had the match won, grabbed him, picked him up, powerbombed him on top of Josh Briggs, took the belt. That's exactly the same ending. And trust me, I know. I watched that match ever since last year's WrestleMania. I know that ending. It was the same kind of somebody like Dijak who had been chasing the North American Championship for years, trying to win it. Same thing with Sheamus, trying to win the Intercontinental Champion, be a Grand Slam champion. And then somebody like a Josh Briggs, Drew McIntyre, kind of just pulling the ref out the ring and saying, nope, I can't let you have it. Other than that, like Drew last year felt a little bit like, nah, man, come on, man. I'm in this match too. I can't just, yeah, you're my friend, but I'm not about to let you have it. And even though I like commentary saying, yo, Dijak and Josh Briggs known each other for 10 plus years. Like they've known each other for a while, so it kind of still has that same element of that. But yeah, man, this match was amazing. Obafemi, the unstoppable champion, Gunther. So it was just like, you know, this match was perfect. It actually did play back into WrestleMania 39 with that triple threat match last year. So I liked it a lot, man. This was an incredible match. All in all, man, NXT Stand and Deliver was amazing. It was an amazing event. Let's kick off WrestleMania weekend. I liked it a lot. Thought it was in a phenomenal matchup. Amazing, amazing, amazing event. I cannot wait to WrestleMania tonight. I'm being honest, WrestleMania Night 1 probably got a little bit. Nah, they gotta like actually follow this shit. You can't have bullshit. You can't have one match where I'm like, "Whoo, shit, that's not good." You can't have one. Like I take one squash match, maybe tonight. But that's about it. All these motherfucking matches gotta hit. Even tomorrow night, them bitches gotta hit. I'm looking forward to it. But tonight, man, it's gonna be amazing. I'm gonna be on here later on tonight to do the WrestleMania Night One. Yeah. But until then, I am Brandon New. This is Wrestling Life. NXT Stand and Deliver. It was amazing. Till next time. Peace.